Rob Blake, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. We were just talking about most improved players. Before we talk about Team Canada, the Kings, et cetera, and some of your past, you know, the answer to the question might be someone who you were paired with in San Jose. Talk to us about Mark Edward Vlasic when you played with him and Mark Edward Vlasic now.
Yeah, and I don't know how much, I mean, obviously I know he's at a level now of being in the Olympics and that, but he was good from day one. And, you know, when I got there, you know, Doug Wilson had told me, he said, you're going to be able to play with one of our young guys. And Mark Edward Vlasic, and, you know, when you start to play with him, you start to realize how good he is. He just doesn't make any mistakes. So, you know, not real noticeable in the fact that he's going to rush end-to-end or beat anybody and make a highlight goal real, but he just doesn't make mistakes. Very solid, good defensively, you know, not overly physical, but won't get pushed around, stands in or holds his own. And I think when you saw him at the level of the Olympics, you saw how good he was.
Hey, Rob, if you were going to write the criteria for what you think the Norris Trophy should be, what would you say? Like, as a guy who knows a bit about the trophy itself, what would you say is your criteria for what a Norris Trophy winner should be in the National Hockey League?
You know, I mean, a lot goes into it. I think you got to play all aspects. You got to be able to run a power play. You got to be able to be a first guy out there on a penalty kill. And you got to be able to control the play 5-on-5 and be out there at the last minute of the game. So I think offensively, defensively, it all comes into play. I don't think you can take just one aspect and be able to win a Norris Trophy. You know, you have to be able to do all of that, compete at all levels of the game, you know, no matter how the game is played, whether it's physical, whether it's defensive, whether it's trying to score a goal when you're down. But you have to be able to contribute in all aspects of that game.
When you look around the NHL landscape right now, and you look at, you know, specifically defensemen, obviously, and someone that you watch on a nightly basis, because I'll tell you, every time I see him throw that butt check, I think about you, Rob. What are your thoughts on Drew Doughty?
Yeah, and then, you know, when you touch on what attributes a Norris Trophy winner have, and, you know, when I speak of that, I speak of guys like Drew Doughty. I mean, he can do everything. He does. You know, he anchors our power play. He's big on the penalty kill. If you're down a goal, he's the guy that's going on the ice every other shift. And when you're trying to protect the lead, he's the last guy on the ice trying to get the puck out for you. So those are the things that that go into it. You know, we're kind of spoiled. We get to see him on a nightly basis. And, you know, it's great to see him go and have success at the Olympic stage or in the Stanley Cup and winning a cup with L.A. a couple of years ago, because it allows other people to see how good this player is.
All right, so you're now an executive, a big-time executive, both with the Kings and now with Hockey Canada. So the obvious question is, what specifically did Dean Lombardi tell you about putting together a winning team on an international tournament?
Well, I don't know so much specifically. I've been fortunate to be able to sit in all his meetings this year and understand the work that he puts in, you know, designing not only the Kings, but just what you look for in a player and what you look for in a mix on a team. And, you know, whether your defense pairs or you have an offensive guy with a defensive-minded guy and different things like that. So I've been real fortunate to be involved with him, and I'm going to lean heavily on him over the next couple of weeks.
You know, coming in, I'm saying, you know, here's Rob Blake, you know, Hall of Fame defenseman. When you look at, you know, what's on the horizon for you, Rob, because I think everybody around the NHL knows that, you know, you're going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. When you look back at your career, and you look at, you know, the Hall of Fame, how much of a cherry on top of that cake would that be?
I mean, it would be a great honor, you know, and I'm fortunate to be involved in a few of the Hall of Fame ceremonies the past couple seasons with some, you know, close teammates and friends going in. And, you know, it's a great spectacle. I think it's a time where these players, and when you listen to them get up and they speak of their love for the game and all the things that went into them having, you know, tremendous NHL careers. And you know, it's pretty interesting to see all the work that other people around them that surrounded them growing up, you know, went into everything. But, no, it would be definitely an honor.
You know, and if I can just pause on that for 1 second, too, when you think about it, and I'm sure you have, I mean, all players of your skill set have, who are some of the people that, in your mind, would come, you know, if you get that phone call from the Hall of Fame, you know, which people are you thinking of when Rob Blake gets the call one day?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, NHL-wise, just I was so fortunate when I broke in the league with Los Angeles Kings, and if you looked at the roster of the the Hall of Fame players and the great players that were on there. I mean, Wayne Gretzky, and you know, I sat beside Larry Robinson my very first day and got to play alongside him for a couple of years. And you know, to see Wayne Gretzky on a day-to-day basis for 6 years, how he handled the media, how he handled the pressures or the expectations of trying to win and trying to win a franchise or a Stanley Cup in Los Angeles. And you know, to be surrounded by all those guys, you know, those are the ones that you think you look back and you realize that your whole career was shaped because of the people that were surrounded early on.
Indeed. Hey, so speaking of the NHL, what surprised you during your time with the Department of Player Safety? Anything about that whole the process, the behind the scenes stuff? Is there anything that kind of surprised you about the approach the NHL takes to this stuff?
Yeah, not so much about the approach. I think one of the surprising things is how much work goes into it and how much Brandon does behind the scenes. I mean, we all see the videos, and I'm on this side now, and I see the videos come out, and you watch them once or twice. You watch a hit real quick, and everyone has an opinion. But to see the work that Brendan has to put in behind the scenes of all the hits that go unnoticed, the ones that aren't called, the ones that aren't penalties, you know, trying to see a different reaction out of players and things. I mean, it's a job, and it's a day-to-day job, and there's a lot of work that goes into it. You know, the other thing that I got to get a first-hand impression on when I worked for the league is that no matter how you talk to these teams or you explain that, you know, your guy went overboard, he caused this or that, they only see their own picture. They don't see the big picture at the time. And it becomes difficult sometimes when you're dealing with it. And, you know, the summertime when the rules are made or, you know, asked to enforce a little stricter, everybody's on the same page until it happens to them.
And as a former player, do you think that the last few years, Rule 48, Shanahan stuff, everything else, has gone a long way to cutting down some of the catastrophic injuries, has gone a ways towards reducing concussions, for example?
I think it's definitely steps in the right direction, and players' behavior changes. You know, guys don't want to sit in the penalty box. They don't want to be suspended. They want to play hard. They want to play right on the line. But I do think you know, one of the things we did there, the player safety, is you start looking at some of these games and you see the hits that were turned aside last second, or where guys led up or didn't put themselves in such a position that they were going to get hit hard or hit, you know, where they could cause an injury. So players will adapt to it. They always have, they always do, but they always play right to the line.
Would you be in favor, Rob, considering you're a defenseman, and in a lot of ways defensemen are the biggest targets out there, especially when they go back to fetch pucks in the corners. Would you be in favor of a little more interference, let's just say shading off of players' dots in for, you know, to protect defensemen that are going back, you know, behind the net into the corners to fetch pucks?
Yeah, I don't know if I would be in favor. I think the way the game's being played now is good, and I think I'm more in favor of teaching these guys how to protect themselves when they do go back. I mean, you should be aware. You got to be aware of the people who are coming in and on you. The problem with allowing a little bit of hooking and holding back in is that it becomes more and more as the season goes and as you get closer to the playoffs. And I think, you know, when we wiped that out as clean as we could, that was a big issue with all the players had, and you saw the pace of the game pick up since then. I wouldn't want to cut back into that.
Hey, Rob, you obviously know California hockey a bit. Right now, the Sharks have 103 points. The Ducks have 101. The Kings have 90. And they're 2 years away, removed from a Stanley Cup. California hockey pretty much rules the Western Conference right now in some ways. Did you ever think we'd get to a point where all three teams would be clicking like they are?
Yeah, I don't know if I thought that all three would be at that level. You know, I was fortunate, you know, played in L.A. for a while, played in San Jose, and watched these teams, and you know, watch Anaheim win a cup and the Kings win a cup. And you would see the teams at different times throughout stretches or through seasons become good. But, you know, it's a pretty dominant league out there now, and teams come out and they've got to play most likely three and four nights. You've got to play a back-to-back with either L.A., San Jose, or Anaheim and finish it off with another one the next day. It's a tough trip out there. They're all built very similar. They play similar styles. You look at their sentiment in Getzlaff and Kopitar and Thornton. They're all big, strong guys that play both ends.
Let's talk a little bit about the IIHF World Championships. You're the general manager of Team Canada. Brad Treliving, Ron Hextall, Brad Pascal as well, serving as assistants. How young do you expect this team to be?
That's a good question. And you know, a lot of it always tends to be a younger team. Those guys don't seem to have as many commitments outside the game that may not allow them to come over and participate in those tournaments. And you're looking for the youthfulness, the young legs, the ones that are excited to be there. That's the main thing for me. I mean, I've been involved in these many times as a player, but you want guys that want to be involved and want to go over and have a good time. It's a great opportunity to win, and you know, it doesn't come around very often throughout your career. You kind of let those things slide, and you feel bad after. So anytime you get that opportunity, you hope they go.
Do you have any idea? I know you probably won't give us any specific names, but do you have a sort of rough ballpark idea of who you want behind the bench?
You know, we just had a call yesterday where all the management team was confirmed, and you know, distributing lists here the next couple days with potential coaches, and it's the same type of thing as the players. Obviously, there's going to be coaches that are in consideration that are on NHL teams competing still to the playoffs till the last day. So, you know, it may be a decision that doesn't come down until the regular season's done.
Finally, for me, Rob Blake, as a man who threw a few during his career, what'd you think of that Alexei Emelin hip check on Milan Lucic the other day?
Yeah, that's pretty good timing to catch the big guy coming through the middle. Problem is, you have to play this guy another 10 years. You know he's going to get you back sometime through this. So you pick those spots, but no, you know, those are hits that, you know, they're fun to watch, and when you see them and when they're done right and correct, you know, has big impacts on games. But I wouldn't want that big guy chasing me around for the next 10 years.
You get the sense Lucic might have a bit of a long memory for those types of things. So, yeah, you might be right on that one, Blakey.
Was there, and then the last one for me, Rob, I'll let you get on with your day. Was there one player specifically, because, I mean, you delivered bone-crunching body checks. Was there one player that you just loved to get more than anybody else? One guy you loved catching?
I don't know if there's one guy. I know early on in my career, we matched up against Calgary a lot of times, and the guy that I seemed to have the most physical battles with was Joel Otto. Oof. Now, it's not that I wanted to have those battles. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He was hard to play against, but it seemed like we went back and forth a lot. It just seemed like Calgary and L.A. played, you know, a couple playoff series, and when we were in the Smythe division in the early days, you had a lot of games against each other, and, you know, Calgary was a big, heavy team, and he kind of led that charge.
He was a large man, a good face-off man as well. Hey, Rob, thanks so much for stopping by. Best of luck in Belarus.
Okay, thanks, guys.